This podcast is a member of WGPRN, WildGamesProductions.com.
For another episode of the Quest for the Book of Sorrows, as we last left off. Yeah, see how I'm doing it this time, guys?
Oh, clever.
Yes. And as we last left off, the party easily, as, yes, you can go. I'll recap as you go potty, my friend.
I just wanted to point out, it's also 4:50.
You mean 7:50.
Well, 7:50 your time.
Yeah, we'll play a little longer, don't worry.
Okay.
Another half hour or so.
And no problem with me. Just wanted to throw it out there.
The party just defeated the Pikachus, as Crispy has dubbed them, which they're not. They're foxes that just kind of zap you. And how is everybody's health? Why? Is everybody okay?
Ragnar is okay.
Okay. I'm at max.
I'm at max as well.
Corbin.
Vince is like, I know who I'm gunning for.
As a fox comes out of nowhere and kills Trask.
No!
Trask was last picking up all the fox tails.
Well, picking up the foxes by their tails.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we'll have a nice hearty meal. Of poke stew.
You all notice that the moons are the, what is it now? The red one is slightly behind the white one. Bigger, though. The red one is bigger now instead of being smaller.
Hmm.
Ragnar, Trask comes up to you and gives you a ring, by the way.
A ring?
Yes. Oh,
brother, what is this?
Oi, this is a magic trinket we found in a foul dungeon. Oi, it works similarly to me bracelets. It'll help
really
give you an edge in combat.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
No, don't worry about it, brother. I mean, it's the least I could do. I want you to get through this.
This isn't all right. Another one of your tricks, is it?
Tricks! I'm insulted.
Like the time I put that hot pepper in your loincloth.
Well, you know, I forgive you for that.
This isn't going to make me itch in bad places now, is it?
No. I can promise. It's not like that fish.
I can promise you the pepper did not forgive you.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to regret this, but Ragnar tries on the ring.
All right, Ragnar puts on the ring, and you notice that now Trask and everyone else is a lot larger than you are.
Oh, you made the entire world grow, brother.
Trask's going to grab him and pick him up.
So you are now, what is it, under 1 foot tall.
Now let's talk about that chili pepper.
Oh.
And then he's going to take him and toss him. Into the stump, or well, not the stump, the hole in the tree. And then he's gonna lean up against it. So his back is blocking it after he puts on his bracelets.
You get thrown into the tree hole, and
it smells like fox manure in here, brother. Let me out.
Actually, when you go inside the foxhole, you see that he is completely inside and covered, and you don't hear from him at all.
It goes to the center of the earth.
Ragnar, when you fall inside the tree stump, You notice that you are inside of what looks like to be the inside of a hut.
A hut?
Yes, you see a spilt drink over a newspaper. And newspaper. You see a little
a newspaper?
Yes. You see a little fire roaring, and it seems to be something was cooking on the oven. I should say the pot on the what do they call those? The fire pit.
Well, if it has a newspaper, I mean,
I'm gonna be regular to see what's in that pot.
You see, it's like a hearty stew.
Ooh, tasty. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Is there any more of that drink left?
Yeah, you see, there's a whole jug of it on the table.
Oh, he's going to have a good old time in there. Until Dresk gets tired of him.
Yeah, after like half a minute of not hearing any screaming, Dresk is going to be like, So he'll look in.
This is
the best meat I've ever had, brother. Come join me.
You fit your little fat head in the hole. And you see that it looks like a totally different world, man. You see your little brother sitting at a table eating a bowl of hearty whatever and drinking some meat and reading a newspaper.
What are you doing in there, you damn fool?
I'm just eating. It's nice in here. Come in.
You wouldn't even fit in there.
I'm sure you can fit.
He's going to reach down to kind of try and grab him.
You going to let him grab you or no?
No, Ragnar's going to try to bite his fingers.
All right, as you're reaching in the tree trying to grab him because you can't see, you feel a sharp pain on your stubby little fingers. He bit you.
He'll withdraw his hand back.
He bit you.
Blast biter! It's not that hard.
Well, you can always chop down the tree.
Nah, none of you guys know what's going on in the tree, so only these two nuts know what's going on.
So, with thing, Calvin, come here.
Yes. Okay.
So he'll like point in and like tell Calvin to look inside.
I don't know if Galvin would actually stick his head in there knowing how Galvin is.
Yeah. So why don't you just tell me about it?
Sometimes there's like a
Trask cannot even explain it.
pretty much. Like a dollhouse. Like a little tiny table.
Oh, yes. I know lots about toys and dolls.
Sometimes...
I'll reach into my bag. I actually have a wooden doll that I've been carrying with me the whole adventure. And is this what you're talking about?
Kinda. But it's kind of like, odd. It's like a house that's... like a real house, you know, like you would live in and your mates would live in.
A little
I'm a dwarf,
house.
So I live in a cave. But but like it's all real. It's not made a toy.
Here you go. Trask, you need this more than me. And I hand him the doll that I had carved that I was carrying around the whole adventure.
I appreciate it, but what I'm trying to tell you is it's like a dollhouse in there, but like there's a real fire and like real food and tiny little minuscule drinks. And...
You know, I'm hungry.
Well, you can peek in and get some.
He looks in. What was that stew? Is that stew you're eating?
Aye, it's quite good. Uh-oh. It's the best I've had for a week.
Okay, I can hear him in there, so I'll be brave enough and peek in.
You see exactly what I described before, the beautiful interior of a small little home.
Ragnar raises the mug to him and continues drinking.
As he's drinking and he's eating the little stew and he's reading the little newspaper. And
can I have the funny pages?
I think they're... yes,
there's no funny pages.
Oh, man!
Friends, perhaps we should see if there's anything of use to us there and journey on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Drink. You know, I've always wanted a ladle that it's not even big enough to feed to a... You know what? No, there's nothing in there that can help us.
Do you need help out of there?
What are you talking about, brother? It's just the right size for you.
Oh.
He looks like, you know, if you ever come back out there, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, now he's never going to come
your
out.
Dear old brother, would you?
Oh,
never.
Ooh.
Much.
Trask, why don't you try kicking the tree like Ragnar kicked the tree?
That's a pretty good point. And then he kicks it as hard as he can. Like, he, like, mule kicks it.
Oh, jeez. The tree actually, since it's a dead tree, kind of falls over.
Ah, oh, my drink, my food.
Everything splashes over on top of Ragnar as he's being covered now in stew and mead. And
He'll crawl out and take the ring off then.
He still has stew all over him.
Does the stew grow or does the stain stay the same size?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I didn't think that far, okay?
It might just be a little flavor saver for later in his beard.
You sure you want to stay in this group, Terry?
I'm starting to have regrets.
Okay, sorry. I'm gonna can the ridiculousness for a little while so the game can actually go. So, yeah, Ragnar will clean himself up and make fun of Tresk some more. Everything's happy.
Okay. So you guys going to press on now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, about another couple hours of travel, and the moon is now white moon in front of you, and you now see the mountainside yet again that you were heading towards.
So no sun ever actually comes out then?
No.
Interesting.
And is the red moon still there?
The red moon is right behind the white moon.
Okay.
You figure it's about another half day's travel, or you could press on, or you can rest. It's up to you guys.
Now, how long have we been traveling, really?
You estimate you probably been traveling at least a day.
Hmm. I wouldn't be opposed to resting. We have plenty of food now.
I say we rest, but make sure we have
maybe
two people,
take...
at least two people per shift.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Okay, so you guys set up your camp again. Who's going to take the first watch?
I look over at the mage and I say, I will take first watch so I know we will be safe for at least 2 hours from mischief.
Well, I'll sit with you.
We can keep an eye on each other. Next watch will be who?
I'll take it.
Okay. And then the last two?
Does that leave Team Dwarf again?
Yeah.
I guess.
Right. Awesome.
All right, so I'm just going to quicken it up a little bit. You guys get through the night uneventful. I didn't have anything planned for the second night, so you're good. And you get...
Damn Pokemon.
Fine, I'll pull another one if you don't shut up. And the fox...
I choose you!
The fox comes to life in Trask's backpack and says, "You killed my house!" And you figure another half day's travel, and you're there. Like I said, you finally reach the mountain bottom side where you see a small dirt road heading up into the mountain that you can probably travel on. You going to head up?
Seems.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, sure. You're traveling up the mountain. It's kind of a steep slope that you're walking up on this path that has been carved into the mountain as it twirls around and spirals, and as you're getting higher and higher in the mountain, it is getting colder and colder.
Trask will pull his fresh new hat around his head a little bit more.
You made a hat that quickly out of the fox?
He's from an industrious race.
What did you do? Just pull the guts out and put a slice in it and put it on your head?
He just stuck it right in the fox's anus.
Actually, just it's not even like gutted or anything. I just kind of took some rope, tied it to its legs, made like a chin strap.
How retarded do you look?
but I'm warm, so...
It's going to start smelling.
Too late.
Yeah. All right, so you guys travel. It's getting colder. You see Trask pulling his fox over his head even further. Okay. There we go. And then you come across a sign that says, "Sneak past mountain town up ahead. Beware."
Sneak past the mountain town?
Snake past mountain town.
Snake.
Snake past mountain town or sneak past mountain town?
Snake. Snake.
Okay.
Maybe that's a hint. Maybe we should sneak around this town.
Does it say it with that exact intonation?
Yes, it says in parentheses, "with this exact intonation."
What an odd sign.
Would you like to play a game?
Hey, I think I... saw that movie.
Trask.
Well, if we're this close to the town, perhaps we should just press on and sleep in a real bed for the evening.
I don't know, man. Well, was that in character or is that an out of character suggestion?
Oh, I'm not tired, so that was totally in character.
Okay. Trask will kind of look up at Galvin and Corbin and kind of be like, "I don't know, guys. Last town we were in, kind of,
Hey, we were the town heroes.
We were the town heroes.
My skin is empty.
Do you remember what the town was like before we were town heroes? Do you remember the horse?
I definitely remember the horse.
Yeah. You know, like, spooky book with, like, place that rises out of the fog and the mist and whatever.
Trask, do you want to be a hermit for the rest of your life? I mean, we're going to have to, you know, see civilization again sometime.
He takes his hat off. We've got plenty of food. I'm just saying that last town that we went to with the book or anything having to do with the book wasn't that enjoyable.
I think we need to find some help from some locals. We really don't know where we're going.
You guys going to just stop here in front of the sign and start arguing about this now, I assume? Or
sure.
Well,
we must destroy this book. Do we have, Vince, do we have a clear idea where we're supposed to go from here? Or would we need to talk to people?
You had to go to this. The only thing you were told was to go to this town and to seek out someone that can help you.
Oh.
We also need to find out what planet we're on. See if we can scan their star charts.
Is anyone wearing a red shirt?
You noticed that.
Who has the highest social attribute? We should send them in.
That would be me. I have a 17 charisma. All
right.
Notice how Trask is glowing. His spine is glowing. He's a Cylon. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was making a joke.
Now, it's still dark, right?
Yes. You start hearing what sounds like a horse and a cart coming towards you.
From up the trail or from below us?
Up the trail, coming down towards you.
Hmm.
It's like a slow pace, not a fast pace. You hear...
Now, I have augury prepared, which, you know, I could possibly cast that to see if going to town is going to be a danger. If you're really that worried about it, Trask.
Well, I mean, like, we didn't encounter anything on the way here, so where's the cart going? There ain't no towns. The only thing left here is a dead forest and a spooky forest with a bunch of dead things in it.
There, you know, he might be turning east or west once he gets out of the mountains. And we came from the south, you know. We don't know where the guy's going.
You see a cart and a horse, with a cart, I should say, coming around the bend. What looks like to be a little old man with a long white beard, and he's wearing red robes.
I suggest that we allow our paladin friend to have a discussion as the most comely of our group.
I put my weapons down on the ground and approach him Hail, good father. May we ask some questions of you?
He stops the horse and he said, who are you? What do you want? You can't have my gold.
No, sir. I don't actually want any of your possessions. My name, myself and my group are heading towards the town. Are we heading in the right direction?
He kind of eyes you up and down, and I assume you have what the heck's your god's name? I can't think of offhand. Ironius.
Yes.
Symbol on your armor or something, right?
I will definitely have that out. Yes, so you can see my holy symbol.
He looks at you, and he looks at your symbol. He kind of smiles, and he goes, oh, you're heading the right way.
Very good. What can you tell us? When we first started out on our quest, there was only the one moon. Unless we are all been transported somewhere else or gone insane, we're not sure which. Can you shed any light on that?
He kind of looks at you confused. He goes, one moon? Them youngins always into them spices.
The spice must flow.
Perhaps this line of inquiry is producing nothing. Is there an inn in the town?
Yes, there is. It's called Skull Creek.
Charming.
Tress groans and kind of rolls his eyes towards Galvin.
Okay.
Well, perhaps we should bid him good day and be on our way towards the town then. What say you, fellows?
Are there any horses in town?
Who's that?
Oh, this is one of my.
Are you ambushing me? You're ambushing me. I knew you were after it. And he jerks the horse and he starts going flying down the mountain. Well, you guys were kind of behind the sign arguing.
Thank you.
What a strange man.
What was the name of that inn again? Skulls what?
Skull Creek.
Skull Creek. Creek. Oh, Skull Creek. Yeah, that bodes well. I just can't wait to stay in Skull Creek. Their murder suite. And they kill all their dwarves while they're defenseless.
Well, it can't be much worse than Pumpkin Forest.
So you're going to press on?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, pressing on, you finally, after maybe about an hour's walk, you reach the outer edges of the village, and you see, which looks like the village has a large wooden fence around it, probably about 16 foot high, with two large wooden doors, and there seems to be two guards standing in front of the door. The doors are large enough to maybe be two carts wide, though.
Two carts wide.
So you'll fit, Trask.
Sure. Oh, I'm not the fat one. I'm the short one.
The guards are dressed all in black, and they have a red symbol of a claw on their front armor.
Do we recognize this symbol? No, are any of us familiar with it?
You've never seen this symbol before. It's like a raven's claw.
I kind of lean over to the paladin, and I say, good friend, can you sense any evil in these men?
I will definitely try, and I focus my attention towards them.
You focus your attention, and you don't seem to find any evil anywhere.
It seems as though they are not of not evildoers. I think it is safe for us to approach.
Please, again, address them as you seem to have more of the human touch than I do.
I would be most honored. I approach the guardsmen slowly and greet them. Hello, is there a toll to enter the town?
I wrote you a message, Terry, by the way. Just so you can see what I was talking about.
I don't see it.
It's under your name, personally.
Where am I? There I am. I'm still getting used to Skype.
Yeah, this new Skype is weird the way it works.
Yeah, new Skype especially.
Okay, I'm on my profile.
It should be in you'll have two tabs. One says contacts, one says recent. If you go into the recent thing, it'll have Vincent.
Oh,
for
okay. It's got, a number next to him.
Yeah, next to my name. And I wrote you a message on.
Okay, one. I got it.
Okay. So what did you say to the guards now?
I asked them if there's a toll to enter the town.
He looks you over and he's like, I don't recognize you or the symbol on your armor.
I am a follower of Heronius.
They both look at each other and they're like, well, you can come into the town, but I don't want to have any trouble out of you.
Oh, absolutely not. We just want to rest at the inn and sate our thirsts. We're very thirsty from being on the road a long time.
Certainly. He pulls out what looks like a small silver orb in his hand. And he holds it in the palm of his hand up towards your face, and he says, identify yourself for the orb. And you see it glows yellow.
I am Nigel Stromson.
And he says, he asked the next party member who was going with you to step up as well.
My name is Corbin Graves, cleric of St. Cuthbert's.
And then he lowers it down to Trask.
He kind of looks up at him. Like, Trask is just like, oh, I can take this guy, no problem. That's what he's thinking in his head, at least.
Okay.
And I got Trask Girdlerender. I kill stuff for money.
He looks at you and he says, I don't want trouble in my town, little boy. Oh.
I will vouch for him. There will be no trouble.
Trask is about to, but he kind of holds his tongue, but he's about to be like...
He moves it over towards Galvin.
I am Galvin the Great Evoker.
Okay, and he goes over to Ragnar and he puts it in his face.
I am Ragnar Girdlerender, the greatest dwarf who ever lived.
Trask, you do hear that.
If he's a great dwarf, then I'm a hobbit.
Yes, you are, brother.
You see that a man in a black suit with a tie comes over and hands you a piece of paper. He says, you've now been served for that comment.
What?
It was the hobbit comment.
The hobbit comment. An attorney came over and just suing you.
It's TSR's legal department.
Yes.
Just make sure you don't say mind flayer. Oh!
Oh no!
kidding. Anyway, and then you see the guard takes the stone and places it in both his hands as if he was praying. He silently looks at it and closes his eyes, and a moment later he says, you may pass. And the gates slowly open.
What is that thing?
He said it's a recording stone.
So, I could say anything into it, and it would record it. And then you could listen to it later.
Doesn't quite work like how you think.
Does it have a symbol of an apple on it?
No. Doesn't have a symbol of an apple on it.
Do I feel any differently after talking to the stone?
No, not at all.
Okay.
The door is open, and you see a pretty medium-sized village. The houses are all gray with red roofs. And you see a couple horses trotting by with some people on them, some people walking around. They all look human, and they're all dressed in gray. There is not one bit of color on them except for the houses that have the red roofs. And there's a small... The dirt road leads inwards into town, and they tell you to continue straight in, and you will find Skull Creek Inn.
Before we go through the gates, I asked the guards. I was like, I've noticed this symbol on your chest. I've not seen it before. Do you mind if I ask what it represents?
He looks at you strange and he's like, no, go inside.
Friendly folk.
Do we, as we pass the buildings inside this town, do we see the symbol repeated?
You see it in various places, like flags hanging off various buildings.
Huh.
You see various other guards in a different shade of black with the same symbol marching around town.
Are there civilians in this town?
Yes. They all appear to be human.
Do the buildings where the flag flies look like official buildings, or
no?
I pull Galvin aside and whisper in his ear.
Ooh, baby.
Perhaps tomorrow you can prepare Charm Person and we may find a more friendly source of information.
That spell would be really useful if I knew it.
And I'm sure we can find plenty of information just by, you know, talking to these good people. I'm sure they have nothing to hide.
Yeah, except the knife they're going to put in our backs. Trask mumbles under his breath.
I fear Trask may be right. Be on your guard.
You do notice something a little bit different as you're walking through town. There are some more official soldier-like people lurking around that seem to be commanding the people in the black armor. They seem to be wearing a full gray suit with a black armband with the claw symbol on it. You do see one of them has, as opposed to the red symbol, he has a gold circle around the red claw on his armband. He seems to be more leaderish than the rest.
Armbands are never a good sign.
Well, do you want to approach those people or go to the inn and see if we can get some?
Yeah, let's try to like just kind of catch some information on the down low here. Might be our best approach.
Okay. So are you going to just kind of hang around, or?
I think we ought to probably get off the street.
let's find this Skull Creek.
Yeah, that's that. Trask wants to drink.
Okay. You keep walking, and maybe about 5-10 minutes, you see the Skull Creek Inn banner swaying in the wind as it's a picture of a skull with blood dripping out of its mouth.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Trask just kind of lets out another "I told you so" groan.
What? It looks like a friendly enough place. And Ragnar pushes inside.
Okay. Everyone else follows in?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, you see this place is very dimly lit. There are various suspicious people in each corner. There are a lot of people staring at you as you walk in the door, obviously because you just walked in the door. It smells really bad in here, as if maybe like Trask hadn't showered in years. Oh, wait, that's his everyday smell. It smells like Trask boots. There you go. Trask, the smell smells familiar to you.
Maybe I wasn't so... I was too hard on this place.
You see there is a couple of serving wenches walking around, placing various amounts of food on the table. There is a bartender behind the bar. He seems to be an elderly gentleman, probably in his late 50s, you estimate, because he has some graying hair. And he looks like he's washing a cup with a rag that's dirty. And the glass doesn't seem to be getting any cleaner. And you do notice, hunched into the corner at the end of the bar, is a very large individual with a cloak covering his face.
How large?
He looks like he could probably, if he stood up, he was over 7 feet tall.
I bend over and whisper at Trask, maybe you should put your bracelets on and sit next to that guy.
Oh, yeah, that's really conspicuous. Hey, look at me, I'm a giant dwarf.
You're a wizard, Galvin.
Oh, gee, sir, I noticed that you yourself are also...
I'll see if I can catch the attention now. Catch the attention of one of the servers and see if we can get a table.
Now, to be fair, I'm not sure Trask has actually been the master of subtlety up till now.
Okay. The server wench, she looks at you. She says, what do you want?
We would like a table? We could order some food and drinks?
She goes,
Assuming the food tastes better than this place smells.
She kind of snarfs up a snot and spits it on the ground. Sit where you want.
Okay.
I don't think I want to eat.
Find a table that doesn't have any dead bodies on it and sit down, I guess.
You guys find a nice large table in the center of the room that'll fit all yous. And you sit down.
She's
and...
not getting a tip.
And that same waitress comes over that you had spoken to. She says, what do you have?
I have a beard.
She smacks you.
Could we get a pitcher of ale, please?
You better make that 5.
Or perhaps 7.
She looks at you strange. We don't serve ale.
What distilled spirits do you see?
We have grog and only grog.
What's in grog?
It's rum and water. It's okay.
Do you have any grog without the water?
You mean rum?
Really? Just the stuff that goes into grog.
Yeah.
But a lot of it.
I'm sure that will be fine.
Any food?
Yes, absolutely. Bring us the house special.
Okay. She leaves and she comes back with 5 dirty glasses, a pitcher of mead. I'm sure it's not mead, grog, excuse me. And she has 2 bottles of rum that she places in front of the dwarves.
Oh, thank you.
And she says, your food will be right out. She leaves.
Use some of the rum to wash the glasses
with. Like, the glasses are disgusting. As I mean, like, looks like there's food caught in them and... Like, you can see the bartender, his rag is, like, all disgusting. You see, he takes the rag and cleans the bar off, and then cleans the glass.
Yeah, so I'll dump some rum onto a cloth and clean my glass, and then get some grog.
A couple people are kind of eyeing you as you're doing that.
I wave to them and smile.
Chris is going to, he's going to take the bottle of rum after they're done with it.
Uh-huh.
You don't need this anymore, right?
No, I suppose it's all yours.
He starts drinking as soon as he says no.
What's Galvin doing? Is he in a state of shock that he can't say anything at this moment?
Well, I don't think I want to drink any of the grog, so I'm just kind of chilling in my seat.
Is that actually what grog is? Is it rum and water?
Yeah, with some other stuff mixed in, but that's basically what it is.
It's a really disgusting version of ale, pretty much. Yeah. It's like the bottom of the barrel stuff. Literally, I think it is.
Medieval equivalent of Mad Dog, huh?
Yeah, even worse than that. Probably Foster's, I don't know.
So, okay, I'm going to look around. Is there anybody? I mean, everyone was looking at us before, but are there people like continuing to stare at us, or are they back to their normal conversations?
People are back to their normal conversations. You see, a few people were eyeing Nigel as he was cleaning his glass, because he seems to be, out of everyone in this whole entire place, the cleanest person in there. So. We're almost okay. So, what is Corbin doing?
I am. I look at the glass. This does not meet the rigorous standards of a cleric of St. Cuthbert, and I just put it upside down in front of me, and kind of wipe my hands on my cloak.
Okay.
And I keep an eye on the very tall gentleman, because he seems to be the only anomaly in here.
He just seems to be minding his own business, taking shot after shot, and then washing it down with what looks like grog. And he's chomping on a big, like, turkey leg.
But they have meat here.
You can't see his face, though, for some reason, the way he has his hood. He's kind of eating slouched down. But you do notice his hand is green.
Ooh.
Huh.
Here's another interesting thing I should probably share with you. When I looked into those guardsmen's souls, I didn't see any evil, but I did see an odd hue to their aura that I have never seen before.
Hmm. Are they quasi?
Jeez. Disconnecting Jack. Okay, and you see the waitress finally comes back with another waitress who has five plates, who they slam down in front of you. You see it's a stale piece of bread with some butter, and it looks like this weird-looking creature with two eyes staring back at you, and there's steam coming off of it, and you each have the individual thing, and she says, "There's your house special. I'll be back to collect in a few."
Is it dead, or...
Dreft doesn't care. He's just going to eat it.
You have...
He just grabs it and takes a big bite.
From what you look at it, it kind of looks like it might be some type of seafood. That's the best you can figure out.
Adventure is all about trying new things. Let us give it a shot.
I say there are many new things that I have no interest in trying, and I push it aside and pull out a field ration and eat it.
You going to eat that?
There is no silverware or dinnerware, I should say. So you have to eat with your hands, pretty much.
That's fine.
I might try some of the bread and butter.
What does the creature taste like?
Absolutely. I'll give it a try.
All right, so Trask picks it up. He said it first out of everyone else. And it feels really, warm to the touch because it's hot. And this kind of, I'm going to say it's a greenish-looking creature. You just take a bite, you hear a crunch, and it feels just like a... It tastes like chicken.
Oh. That's pretty good.
It's kind of gooey, though. As you're eating it, the eyeball is looking at you, though. Nigel, you had the same effect. Mm. And I think also Ragnar was eating it, too, right?
Oh, yes.
And, how about Galvin?
I'm looking. I'm examining the stale bread. Does it look like something that I might be able to eat? Is it moldy?
No, it's just like. Did you hear that knock? That's what it sounds like.
Never mind. I put it back down on the plate. I'll pass for the evening.
All right. And Corbin pulls out a field ration as he's chewing on his Slim Jim. She's snapping to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lads.
Yeah. You guys finish up your meal, and there's Corbin's meal and Galvin's meal still sitting there.
Well, I'm pretty sure Regno was going to tear into that.
Well, wait a minute. I'll take the stale bread. And was the creature in a stew?
No, it's just the creature there on the plate.
Oh, never mind then.
Staring at you, looking.
It's not too bad.
Directly into your eyes.
It's creepy. It looks like kind of looks like magic components to me. I don't think I want to eat it.
Yeah, like when Nigel says it's not too bad, he's like, it's a little undercooked, but not bad.
You guys you sit there, you finish up. I assume the other people eat the rest of the meal. You fight over it, whatever. The dwarven insanity progresses. She comes back. She goes, "Can I get you anything else?"
Do you have rooms available?
Yes. We have one large room.
Well,
does it have a bucket in the middle of it?
No, there's no bucket. It would be a private room for you.
BYOB.
Yeah. No bathroom, yeah. There's a private room for you and your friends, she says.
I think we would like to reserve that.
She says, okay, it'll be 4 silver for the night.
Well, that's reasonable. I'll pay that. And how much for the meal?
15 gold.
15 gold?
We gotta make money. We gotta make money somehow, she says.
Yeah, I don't have that much, so everybody's going to have to kick it.
I got
you. Yeah.
Hey, you ordered the house special, right?
I thought it would be a good way to ingratiate us with the staff.
Well, 15 gold, I mean.
You pay for it, Trask?
Yeah.
Wait, for 15 gold, maybe I should take a bite out of this thing.
For 15 gold, you could eat a horse.
So, since I'm paying so much for this food, could I get 2 more, but a little bit more well-cooked.
She says, sure.
Is that going to cost me anything?
Yes, that'll be 5 more gold.
Ah, God, you break balls, lady.
I push my plate across, and I say, please, finish mine.
Well, Ragnar already ate it. And Galvin's Trask already ate yours, so...
You're right.
So she says, all right. She comes back in maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, and she slams two plates down in front of you, the same thing.
I never said I wanted it.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
Too bad.
No, it was like, I was like, five more gold. Is that five more gold each? Or is that five gold altogether?
Total. Five more gold total.
I'm already out 15, so. Yeah, I'll pay it.
Okay, she slams the plates down in front of you and collects the money and walks off. And she gives, Nigel, she gives you a key to the room.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is the large green-handed man still around?
Yes, he's still at the bar.
Now, does it look like a human hand, or does it look scaly, or...?
Kind of scaly. You hear a man typing in the background. What?
Squamous.
No.
It's covered with scales.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what that word means?
Yeah, I guess
it
so.
It is. I read a lot of Lovecraft.
must be a big Call of Cthulhu player then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, good. We'll have a talk someday.
I'm going to ask the barmaid if the if this bar is open all night or if it closes before, you know, after a certain hour.
She looks at you and she says, "No, it's going to be closing in about another hour. You might as well get up to your room already."
Well, perhaps we should have bed for the night and we can strike out on the town anew tomorrow morning.
There's many new sights to see and things to look at. So you guys, Trask, you wait for Trask to finish up his dinner. Trask, you are stuffed.
Mm.
And you guys, I assume, head upstairs to your room?
Yes.
Okay, you go inside the room. You see there is one cot in the middle of the room. And you see there's four cots propped up against the wall. They look very disgusting, as if they've been used and many people sweat through them.
Yeah, I'll sleep on my bedroll.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Let's prop the cots against the door.
And windows, and you know.
Like, oh, if somebody tries to open them, they'll make a lot of noise.
Considering how creepy this place seems, I think it might be a good idea to keep a slight watch through the night, too. I don't know. Never know.
That's funny.
I don't like it here.
As you guys are, cleaning up the room and getting ready to go to bed and putting your bedrolls down, you finally get the room to the way you want it. There's no separation in the room here. There's just one big giant room that they gave you. It does have a chair, which looked like there was a desk at there at one point, but it's now smashed. You see Galvin goes over to the door and pokes his head out the door and looks down towards the bar, which is now closed, and he steps outside the door for a minute and then comes back in the room with a grin on his face and closes the door and locks it. And I'll leave it up to you if you want to say what you did or not, so. He's being silent, so no, he's not. Galvin? Hello? Is he still there?
I'm sorry, I was on mute, so can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
Another trick on me.
No, I'm going to turn in, guys. I'm a little tired, so I'll see you in the morning.
All right. Then we'll just take this opportunity to end things for tonight and join back up again next time. Because we're at the over hour mark for this episode, so. So everyone, say goodbye, and we'll come back for another episode of The Quest for the Book of Sorrows.
Bye-bye, everyone!
Bye!
Bye.
Goodbye!
You have been listening to The Quest for the Book of Sorrows. If you have any questions or comments, please visit the cast at rfipodcast.com. Follow the cast on Twitter at rfipodcast or at facebook.com/rfipodcast. Join us next time for The Quest for the Book of Sorrows.